is the PT Pintcast, a podcast that talks about physical therapy over beer, bringing together clinicians, researchers, and forward-thinking PTs in a show that's anything but boring.
Let there be beer!
This is the PT Pintcast with your host, Jimmy McKay.
Another episode of the PT Pintcast starts right now. The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. Our guest tonight, a professor of physical therapy at Widener University in Chester, PA. She's been teaching for more than 20 years. Her areas of expertise are in orthopedics, sports medicine, modalities, and medical screening. As a clinician, she owned a private practice in orthopedics and sports medicine, also providing athletic training services from the middle school to elite Olympic and Paralympic level. As a member of the Olympic Sports Medicine Society, she provided medical coverage at numerous national and international events. As a scholar, she's the author of 4 books, Ortho Notes, Screening Notes, Sports Notes, and Mobilization Notes. 4 book chapters, more than 40 peer-reviewed publications. She's also a little bit of a techie, the developer of a mobile app called iOrtho, available on Apple and Android devices right now. She earned her Bachelor of Science in Athletic Training from Lock Haven University, a Master's in PT from Emory, and a Doctorate of Philosophy in Exercise Physiology from Temple University. That is a long, long resume right there. And welcome to the show, Dawn Gulick.
Hi, Jimmy. Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Absolutely.
It's a pleasure to participate in such a wonderful forum that you have developed.
Came out over a drink at a conference, and that's where we are right now. So the first question is always the hardest. What are we drinking today?
I'm pretty much of a wussy drinker, so I've gone with a seasonal thing, Sly Fox Christmas Ale.
There you go. See, I like the seasonal ones. It makes it valuable because you know it's only going to be around for a little bit, so you got to grab it.
There you go.
I'm going to go with something local to the area that I'm in. I'm in Arlington, but this is from Alexandria, Virginia, the Port City Brewing Company, the Optimal Wit. Cheers to you, Dawn, for being on the show today.
Well, thanks for having me.
All right, so let's jump into it. I downloaded your app a while ago and played with it and liked it for a couple of different reasons. Number one, I thought it was simple and easy to use. I thought it was, you didn't have to read a manual to be able to use it. And I thought it really got to the information that I wanted to very, very quickly. And that's really important, especially when you're a student like me and your eyes are big as a deer in headlights and you got a patient and you just need to get some information really quick before they figure out you don't know what you're talking about. So that's why I liked iOrtho. So how did it come to be? When did you see a hole in the market and what brought you to kind of design your own app?
Well, thank you, first of all, for those kind words. And actually, I learned a new word in the app development, that people expect apps to be tribal.
Okay.
And I heard that the concept of tribal meant that you didn't need an instruction manual, that you simply were, it was intuitive. And so that was actually one of the goals in the development. And I think that's important because people don't want to have to pull out a paper and pencil when you're on an electronic device.
Right.
With that being said, as a student, you can appreciate this story. Imagine several years ago teaching orthopedics, and an exam starts to approach, and students start asking questions because, of course, you know, all their questions are geared towards what's going to be on the exam.
Will this be on the test?
Exactly. In physical therapy, there's so many times when the answer to a question is, it depends. It depends on this scenario or that scenario. But, of course, you know, they want to know what's going to be on the test. And so they're asking things like, could you give us a study guide for orthopedic special tests? Okay, fine. So I developed the study guide, posted online for them, and we're good to go. Over the course of several semesters, that study guide began to evolve. Images were added. And then it was printed in color. And then it became a 3-hole punch thing that could go in their notebook. And then it became, hey, you know, this would be really neat if it was a little bit more permanent so that I could take it into the clinic with me. So we laminated it. And then it became, oh, this would really be great if I had this information on my phone. And that was it. Okay, I'm sorry. I don't know how to do that.
Right.
You know, I do all this other stuff leading to it. Now, not quite so easy. That was 2009. 2010 was pretty much the app explosion. I went to CSM and I'm standing at a booth and I'm chatting with a gentleman who is an orthopedic surgeon, and we're talking about this idea of putting this content into an app, and he actually had developed an exercise app. And he says to me, oh, I've got a developer for you. You want to do this? I'll hook you up. So we basically end up getting connected with this developer, and that was February of 2010. By June of 2010, the Apple version of the app was on the market.
Wow, so less than 6 months.
Yes. It only had about 80 tests and 85 mobilizations. But it was the beginning. It sold like gangbusters the first month. And that was like, wow, we're onto something here. But we knew that wasn't enough. And we started evolving. Now, pretty much, I probably do about 4 updates a year, trying to constantly update the information. And ironically, I use another app to stay current for my app.
Really?
Yeah. And so for people listening, PTs and students and clinicians, a really good app, in addition to iOrtho Plus, is QXMD Read. QXMD Read is actually a free app, but it literally is a literature troller. It trolls the literature for content that you tell it you want to see. So every day I get an email with new literature out there that keeps me up to date in all of the special tests that are out there.
So is it something like Google Scholar Alerts where you can set it for a couple of keywords and it'll hit you with an email when those titles pop up?
Yes, but it allows you to be really specific to journals that you want to look at. It allows you to go right to the full text journals if you have a university that you're connected to that accesses those journals electronically. So totally free, totally easy, and it takes all that legwork out of it for me. And it's, you know, that can be a daunting task to be constantly searching information constantly. And that's the beauty of the app. Because as you know, if you haven't had this experience or your listeners haven't had experiences yet with publishing, what you find is that you do a research project, you collect the data, you analyze the data, you write it up, you send it in. Count on at least 3 to 4 months before you hear back from the journal. If it's positively reviewed, now it's going to take you a little bit of time to, you know, go in and edit it with whatever revisions they want you to do and resubmit it. Now you're talking a couple more months. So now you're up to, you know, 6 to 8 months. Then they have to find a place for it if it's accepted, assuming that set of revisions is good. You're talking easily, short version, easily a year, sometimes a year and a half till stuff gets out there. Textbooks, same thing. Not to mention that with a textbook, you're now in a position where every time there's a revision, you're buying a new textbook.
Right.
You know how much, and I'm not trying to slam anybody, believe me, McGee, Evans, Dutton, good gosh, they've written Bibles for crying out loud. That's a life work, and that's incredibly impressive. But $150 a pop?
Right. Tough.
Exactly. And by the time you get it, it's already a year old.
At best.
Exactly. So you know, there's the take home in terms of mobile apps. We can end this podcast today, right this instant. I can go online, pull up the content of the app, edit something, whether it be a picture, whether it be text, whether it add a reference, add a statistic, push it out, and you'll have it instantaneously. So I read an article today, I can post it for you tomorrow. You've got cutting edge stuff.
So it's really like a moving learning textbook on your phone.
Exactly. And it's $15, one and done. You're never paying for another update. You know, no new textbook to buy.
Right.
It's out there. You've always have it. You buy a new device. Boom, just transfer it over.
It's done. So iOrtho Plus, and you can check out the updates and information on iOrtho.xyz or the Twitter handle iOrtho Mobile App if you want to follow those guys on Twitter. Talk a little bit about it works. Let's say someone hasn't tried it out. They're driving in their car right now. What's going to make them go to the App Store and want to check this thing out? What does it do?
I started out with this by giving everybody one joint for free. So when you downloaded it, you know, you get one joint for free. And my conversion rate wasn't very good. I won't get into all the marketing thing because certainly it's not really something I'm good at, quite frankly. Major downfall. You know, PT school doesn't teach us how to be business people.
Right. That's a subject of a different podcast altogether.
You are so right. So short version is that I thought that was might be a sticky wicket. So when we did an addition or a new build this past year, one of the things we did was make the app so that you got the entire thing for free when you downloaded it and you got 5 entries into it. And then after the 5th entry, it's going to go away.
Mm-hmm.
And now you've either got to buy it or you lose it. And that was based on some literature that was out there that said, when you do things 5 times, after the 5th time, it becomes a habit. So the idea was, one, let people see exactly what they're buying.
Right.
You know, see it all. Well, I'd give you just a little snippet. Give it all to you. Let you see it. And then secondly, if in fact you are using it, well, then you realize that this is valuable and I'm ready to buy it. So that was sort of the mentality behind that. When you get in, what you're going to see is a screen that gives you a skeleton, and you pick any joint you want. So you've got shoulder, elbow, hand, and wrist. You've got C and T spine as a dot, L and S spine as a dot, and then hip, knee, ankle. Pick any one of those, tap on it, and it gives you the choice. Do you want to see a special test, or do you want to see the mobilization techniques? Go in with the special test, and then it's all based on structure. So do you want to look at ligaments? Do you want to look at tendons? Are you looking for a vascular test? Are you looking at a stability test? You know, those kind of things. So it's all compartmentalized that way.
It's hard to mess up, like you said, tribal before. If you can't figure out how to use this app in 2 minutes, you probably shouldn't be near another human being ready to put your hands on them, because it is. It's very, very drivable, and it's laid out very, very well. I like it.
It was interesting because somebody said to me the other day, why would I pay $15 for this when I can go to YouTube and just look at all those videos? And the answer In one word is convenience. Mm-hmm. In two words is convenience and reliability. Anybody can post the YouTube video and right. you don't really know if it's right. And then that's assuming that you know the names of the tests that you even want to look up.
Right.
There are 16 label tests for the shoulder. You know, what's the likelihood that you're going to remember all 16 of those? Not to mention the fact that there's metrics that go with it and references and the like. So that's just a huge volume of knowledge that you would have to have. And chances are, if you remember all that, you don't need to look it up anyway.
So now we got how to use it. That's from the tech side. You know, it really is a nicely laid out screen. It's the skeleton, touch the joint you want. It's got the mobilization. It's got the special tests done. How would you recommend I use this, though? Am I ducking into to where my desk is before a patient comes in? Or am I brushing up on this? Is it a good study guide to do when I don't have a patient or a cancellation to kind of practice with? Or how do you see and get good results from people who are out there using it?
I think there's a couple of answers to that question. And I think it's going to depend, one, on your environment, and two, on your discipline. So as an athletic trainer, if I may touch on that, I know sure. you know, we're talking here, but as an athletic trainer, I find that athletic training is 90% boredom and 10% chaos. Okay? And that's not any slam on the profession. I mean, that's reality. Athletic trainers are frequently hanging out doing nothing. And then all of a sudden, bam, 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 lots of stuff happens and you're responding. So in that 90% is a perfect time to have an opportunity to review things, to use it as a resource. What don't I remember? What could I use a refresher on? You know, and just use it almost as a study guide or a reference. Students, likewise in PT, can also use this as a reference, studying for a class. You know, every PT student has great access to experts in their curriculum. And certainly those experts are there to help you with that knowledge, but they're not always there for you. So when you're studying in the lab at 9, 10 o'clock at night, getting ready for a practical, you want to have this information available to you, not have a faculty member there.
Right.
That's a great resource at that moment, whether it be a special test, a MOB technique, et cetera. And then the other is, like you said, in the clinic. Because there is no sound on iOrtho, you can discreetly look at the test without really hinting to a patient.
Tipping your hand.
Yeah, exactly. A good choice of words.
Yeah.
And, you know, some people have said that to me where they would like to have sound. They'd like to have a voiceover. But it was deliberately omitted for, one, the clinical environment and not wanting to have that sound. And also, two, because of the size of the files, doing voiceovers would just make this thing mammoth.
Right, right. I mean, point out the obvious, the portability. I mean, you know, we'll get to this in a minute, but your Ortho Notes book is very, very small. And I toted this thing around in my first full-time rotation. This is pretty small, but nobody goes anywhere these days. You go to the bathroom and you've got your phone in your pocket. I mean, we aren't alone. It's right next to the bedstand. It's always, always there. And it's good to have. And I mean, I hate to go all cliche, but now there's an app for that. And you got it covered with iOrtho Plus. And I just like it.
I think that that's very true. And again, not to beat the athletic training population, but again, that's a place where, you know, athletic trainers always have their phone on the field with them because of emergency purposes. PTs have found a situation where sometimes phones are prohibited
right.
in their environments, both because of a confidentiality issue and HIPAA regulations, and secondly, because of signaling. A lot of hospitals, you know, have PT in the basement where you're in a vault. And you're not going to get a signal. So that was one of the changes we did to iOrtho on a build last year. We made it as an option where people can decide, do you want to download the videos and keep them on your device, and i.e. use up some of your memory, or do you want to just keep it in the cloud and use Wi-Fi mm-hmm. as your opportunity to connect? So depending on your environment, you have that choice.
I like it. Future growth. How can people contribute? Because you're saying you started off with just a couple of mobilizations and special tests, and now this thing's gotten bigger and bigger. Ballpark, how many are on there right now?
A little over 350.
It's a little bit different than 80. So yeah. how are you still contributing to the giant bank of information as people invent new special tests or we find out new information?
Well, and that's always happening. The reason that evolves is because someone takes a test. And let's just take, for example, the shoulder labral test. So you have the Kim test, which came out a decade or so ago. Kim studies it, finds it's pretty decent, and then tweaks it a little and calls it the Kim 2. And then somebody else looks at it, and they raise the arm a little higher to like 160 degrees instead of 130, 35, and then they call it the crank, you know? And then they take it a little bit lower, and they call it the anterior slide. It's a labral test, right. And it's doing the same thing. Do we need four tests with four different names in four different positions? You know, probably not. That just makes a PT student's life a living hell.
It does.
But, yeah, but that's how these things evolve. Everybody studies it, tweaks it, and it becomes on the test. It's going to keep going. And I'm constantly coming across things that I haven't seen before. I actually looked at a webinar not too long ago, and there was a lumbar instability test called the Instability Catch. There's a lot of sensitivity and specificity out there on it. I've never heard of the test before.
Right.
So, okay, so now it's time I need to investigate it. I need to see what's out there. Look to see if this a test I want to include. I've had people who have used the app, and at the end of every section is called an add your own test section, all right? And it invites people who are using a test in the clinic to email me a test that they have that is not in iOrtho. And I've had this happen on numerous occasions. People will send me a test and say, do you know about this? And I'll give you an absolute example. A gentleman emailed me and said, are you familiar with the Coleman block test? And I said, no.
Never heard of it.
Exactly. Well, here's the literature. It's a test to look at discerning whether it's a problem with a tibialis posterior tendon tightness or a plantar flex first ray. So you literally put the foot, the lateral part of the foot, on a block, and you look and see what happens. Does the foot go into more valgus or not? And whether or not it goes into valgus tells us whether it's one of those two structures. So totally foreign to me. I didn't know anything about it. It did some investigation, included the test in a version of the app that came out recently. And as part of the deal, I send that person who submitted the test a gift card.
There you go.
So, you know, and I actually cited the person in the app saying, you know, this test was contributed by so-and-so. So just, you know, a chance for people to be involved and have some ownership of it as well. Fun little twist.
Yeah, I think it's cool to hear that you're actually, you know, you didn't just put out an app and you kind of walked away and said, well, here it is and buy it. It's, you know, it's $15. Take it or leave it. You're still behind this. You're still working and you're still making sure that you're researching stuff like that example right there. And you're checking out the validity behind it and you're making sure that the stuff is up to date.
I think that's important. And I think that when people go out and look for apps to buy, there's two things there that they need to look for. Is the person who's doing the app, do they have the credentials to do this? You know, are they credible? Just like if you buy a textbook, mm-hmm. Is it a credible author, right? Is it referenced? That's one thing. And then all apps have a little section on the info section that say the last time it was updated. So you go in there and you see it hasn't been updated since 2012, delete it.
Right.
I mean, how current is that?
Right.
That's just not something that is going to keep you current.
All right, so pop quiz, what is your favorite special test though, since you've got 350 in there? What's your favorite? What's your go-to?
I think some tests that have been really good. Well, one test, gosh. I'll give you one upper, one lower.
Okay.
I think that the dynamic shear is a good labral test. I think that's a good go-to test. And I have to say my lower extremity test is one that has come upon me. I didn't find it. It found me. And that is the prone Lockman's test. And I'll say that because I was working at the Olympic Training Center in Lake Placid, and I had an ice hockey player who was playing team handball as a conditioning activity. A gentleman came down erroneously, twisted, tore his ACL. He comes into the training room. He's got thighs like tree trunks. I am, you know, all of maybe 117 pounds and not a lot of upper body strength. I try to get a Lockman's on this guy. Not a prayer. I couldn't even get my hands around his thigh to stabilize him to get a Lockman's, right? This big, burly orthopedic surgeon comes in, boom, Lockman. Just boom, just moves. I'm like, son of a gun, that stinks, right? I was frustrated with myself because I knew that was an ACL there. And I get the clinical test I needed. So everything's over and done. I expressed my concern after it was done to the orthopedic surgeon. I was like, you know, this isn't fair. This really stinks. I knew that, but I couldn't get the result you got. He's like, well, did you ever try it prone? What do you mean? And he's like, well, let me show you another test. And we get somebody who was just sitting around the clinic. He goes down on one knee on the side of the plinth, throws a guy leg over his shoulder, and shows me how to do the Lockman's in prone. Now the thigh's stabilized. I don't have to worry about it. I've got two hands free to you know, crank on that tibia. And I'm like, this is amazing. This is exactly what I need, right? So that test is something that is near and dear to my heart just because it has a unique experience, an interesting story, and it accommodates my size in terms of being able to do a clinical test.
Yeah, that's cool. I like that. Well, now I'm not going to forget that one if I got someone who's huge who might have an ACL tear. I like that. We're going to take a short break. When we come back, I want to talk about getting into the semi-specifics of, man, I've got a great idea, but I'm not techie. How do I get my idea in the form of an app? Just maybe the first couple of steps to get people on their way. And then you just alluded to it, you know, working in Lake Placid. Placid, working with the Olympics and the Paralympics. I want to get into that, how you got involved and how somebody out there who might want to get involved could take the first couple steps. We'll be right back with Don Goick on the PT Pinecast. Don't move.
Physical therapy and beer go together.
Right.
The PT Pinecast with McKay. It's time for the PT Final Exam Pop Quiz. Keeping you on your game before and after the NPTE. Here's today's question.
When can I take the NPTE? Question is, when can I take the NPTE?
We'll be right back with the answer of today's PT Final Exam Pop Quiz. The PT Pinecast proudly supports the Wounded Warrior Project. Since 2003, the Wounded Warrior Project has been raising funds and awareness for the needs of injured service members, helping injured servicemen and women with aid and assistance, and to provide unique direct programs and services to meet their needs. Their continuing goal is to foster the most successful, well-adjusted generation of wounded service members in our nation's history. To find out how you can help the Wounded Warrior Project, visit them online at woundedwarriorproject.org. Okay, here's today's PT Final Exam Pop Quiz one more time.
When can I take the NPTE?
And the answer to the PT Final Exam Pop Quiz is...
The NPTE is given quarterly with what they call fixed date testing. So each January, April, July, and October, students are allowed to register and take the examination.
Thanks for playing along at home, boys and girls. Remember, for your NPTE test prep, all you need is the PT Final Exam. Find them online at ptfinalexam.com/pintcast. Working out his orbicularis oris until failure. DJ, please. Jimmy McKay on the PT Pintcast.
All right, we're back with Don Goick on the PT Pintcast, the creator mobile app iOrtho Plus. It's been on my phone for a while, and I did test it out, but it's a great app, and you can check it out in the App Store. It is available for Apple products. It's available for Android products, and you can check out the website iOrtho.xyz. And we had talked a little bit off air about a goal of yours. You know, what's your goal ultimately with this app besides just sharing knowledge and creating a product? Was to do something kind of philanthropic and pay it forward a little bit to some students. Why don't you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, well, given that this evolved in an academic institution and all of the models that are involved in there are students that I paid to help out with the process. So, you know, giving it back to the students. If you have an opportunity to make a few extra dollars in PT school, that's a great thing. And as we do the models are photo shooting with us, we're explaining to them what tests we're doing, why we're doing them, you know, so there's a little education involved in that as well. But because of that environment and where this, you know, all came to be, one of my ultimate goals for the app is to pay it forward by endowing a scholarship. We've been doing this for a few years, and that hasn't happened yet. But part of that is because most of the profit that is being made is being put back into it, you know, to continue it to grow, to keep it on the cutting edge. And we're continuing to do that because our next iteration is a computer version. Okay. So it'll be your desktop or your laptop, you know, whatever you, however you want to use it. People have told me that, you know, not everybody carries a phone with enough memory, and they would like to have that option too.
And ultimately with the goal too, if you make a couple extra bucks out of it, somehow, you know, do the math and figure out how much money you'd need to put into an endowment to actually get a scholarship to be able to present that to some PT students. That's pretty cool.
Correct.
The website, as we mentioned earlier, was iOrtho.xyz. Nice and easy. Right. So you had brought up a little bit about you working in Lake Placid. That's a town that's near and dear to my heart. The only U.S. town to ever hold an Olympics twice. Winter Olympics, of course. The big one in 1980 where the United States beat the Russians. Miracle on Ice movie. And how'd you get involved working with the Olympics and the Paralympics? I know you got a background in athletic training and PT and exercise physiology. So how'd you get involved with something like that? That's cool.
You know, I'm really sorry to say that really isn't it. I'd like to tell you that hard work got there. Quite honestly, as all too often happens in life, it's right place, right time. I was just so lucky in 1993 to have befriended a person by the name of Judy Benscoter. Judy was one of the first women in the U.S. orthopedic surgeons to do arthroscopic surgery. And I met her in the early 90s. As fate would have it, she asked me to be the co-medical director for the U.S. women's field hockey team at the Intercontinental Cup at Villanova University, right down the road from where I work, where my practice was. And it was a three-week event, 12 nations there for the event. We put together a medical facility and supplied the medical services for these countries that came in. There was a woman by the name of Kathleen Watson, who was the head of the FIH at the time, that oversaw the entire event. And she wrote a very nice letter to Colorado Springs about the medical services that Dr. Ben Scoter and I provided there. The next thing I know, I'm getting a letter from the U.S. Olympic Training Center saying, would I be interested in doing a two-week internship with them at Lake Placid to learn the system?
Yeah.
And so I went there. That kind of continued to evolve. And then next thing you know, I'm at a Pan Am Games in Winnipeg, Canada, and then to some other international events. And then in 1999, I get a letter in the mail that says I've been named to the U.S. Paralympic team for the sport called goalball.
Okay.
And what, I knew nothing about the Paralympics.
Right.
I knew nothing about goalball. So I started making some phone calls, got on the internet, started looking up some things, found out that there are actually three types of Olympics, if you will. There's what we know is the able-bodied Olympics, right? Everybody watches every years. There's the Paralympics for the physically disabled. And then under a totally separate and different, different environment is the Special Olympics for the cognitively impaired. A couple of decades ago, the International Olympic Committee put the Olympics and the Paralympics under one umbrella, such that it was one city, one games was the mantra. The Olympics came in. It was a three-week event for the Olympics. A week break, the Paralympics came in. Same city, same venue, you know, same village, everything. So I ended up going to Sydney for the 2000 Games.
Yeah.
With what we're called goalball, which is for the visually impaired. And if you've never heard of it, the easiest way for me to describe it is that it is a sport played on a volleyball court that has two goals on either end of it, the length of the end line, and it is like reverse dodgeball.
Okay.
So you have a ball that's the size of a basketball with bells in it, and three players on each side wing it at one another with and they dive in front of it to stop it. Now, okay, they're visually impaired, so they need the bells
right to hear,
and they dive in front to stop the ball and then wing it back to try to score.
Wow.
Balls can be thrown like a discus or like a slingshot in softball. Either way, but they can reach speeds of 40 miles an hour.
Wow.
Yeah, so it's pretty crazy. And the interesting thing about it, which is like no other sport I've ever known, and that is that the venue has to be quiet because they have to be able to hear the bells.
Yeah, no cheering.
So, well, you can cheer after a goal,
right,
but you can't yell anything to the court to give any hints. Even the coaches can't tell the players anything when the ball's in play. It was interesting. After doing that now for 15 years and covering that sport, it's like ruined me on every sport sideline. I stand there quietly. Totally wrecked me as a participant, in sports. But it's been really cool, and I've learned a lot. Paralympics has afforded me opportunities to work with wheelchair rugby, wheelchair basketball, sitting volleyball, track and field. It's been a really cool event, and certainly now with the state of the world and the situation with the Wounded Warriors program, Paralympics has really evolved in the last two decades. It has gone from a group of people who are disabled training to become athletes to athletes who have become disabled. And the military model has done a lot in that venue. So it's really been interesting. And like I said, I think I've gained as much from it as they've gained from me working with them.
Yeah, not long ago, I had on this show an athlete from South Africa who was a junior triathlete hit by a car and then wound up being the first C6 tetraplegic triathlete to ever finish the Ironman. And it really does. I mean, even mentioning his story just makes all the hair on my arms stand up, just what these guys go through. And they are absolutely every bit the athlete of anybody else, of what someone would be considered an able-bodied athlete. These guys are outstanding. That's a cool story. I like how you got involved in there. So the breakdown is, if you want to get involved, make sure you know the right people.
Well, unfortunately, it used to be that you would put in your 2 weeks, you were reviewed by, the folks there. And, they're looking for team players. They're looking for people who, towels need to be folded, they're done. Somebody needs to take out the trash, they're done. You're a team player, you do whatever needs to be done. You're schlepping hot packs and ice bags and whatever,
Uh-huh.
And if you were that person, you were invited into the fold and made a member of the team.
Yeah.
And there's approximately about 180 athletic trainers and physical therapists that work with the U.S. Olympic athletes and Paralympians, pretty distinctly divided into summer and winter games. That internship program is really not functioning anymore. And that the whole Olympic movement and the sports medicine thing has kind of evolved since, the Athens Games. It has changed a lot. And so now it's more that the governing bodies are now inviting people to come in and work for them. So it is unfortunately who you know in some regards. It doesn't mean that you can't volunteer your time at the Olympic Training Center and get in and get that experience. They do always need that. And like when the Olympics are going on, like say the Summer Games are going on, there are still winter athletes that are still training. And those venues still need to be backfilled.
Sure.
You know, so that's always available. And certainly anyone that's interested in sports medicine can consider that by contacting people at Colorado Springs. Or you send me an email and I'll give you the right contacts. You know
Sounds
what I mean?
Cool. But all right, the last bit of information I want to dig out of you before we let you go enjoy the rest of that beer. I got a couple classmates. I've had people say, you know, I got an idea for an app. And you're somebody who was that. I mean, you said you weren't much of a techie when you started this iOrtho Plus app journey. Let's say someone's got a great idea for an app. Where do they go with it without giving away too much of the farm? You don't want to just tell someone your idea. Next thing you know, you don't hear back from them and the app pops up 6 months later. What's a good way to be a PT and still be able to kind of have control over that creation?
Yeah. Well, first of all, you need some investors. You need to have some money in your pocket. You need to know a couple of people. So first of all, it's going to cost you between $20,000 and $25,000 to develop an app.
Wow.
Because, you know, programmers don't come cheap.
Right, sure. Good ones, too.
They're going to range, depending on the parts of the country that you're in, between $75 and $150 an hour. That's a niche market right now, and they can command that. You also need to then get some Apple and Google connections. You need to be able to register whatever company you have, and you can make up a company, you know, online real easily. You can develop an S company or an LLC, a couple papers file online. It's not a big deal, and that's pretty cheap in the grand scheme of things. $100 will get you that. You need to register with Apple, which costs you $100 a year. Google is $25 a year. Then you need to actually develop the app. You're gonna need to have some devices to test them on and things like that. So I always have, like, I have an iPad and I have an Android phone. So then that way, no matter what we develop, you know, I've got both. And then, you know, you're just ready to lay out your data, decide how you want it to kind of present. And they call those wireframes. So it's sort of like an outline or an algorithm of how you want your information to drill out. I've been fortunate enough that I have a developer that I work with in Delaware, and Stephen's wonderful. He does a really great job for me. And he does something that some other people that I've met over the years have not been able to do, and that is he tells me what I can do. Like, I don't know what the app can do. Mm-hmm. So I can say, I'd like to do this, or I'd like to do that, and he comes back with, well, you know, you could do this if you wanted, or do you know you could do that? You know, those kind of things are what I look for in a developer. Tell me what I can do. Don't make me tell you, you know, what I want to do. Give me options. Give me choices.
Right, you're coming to the table with some PT expertise, and instead of him just sitting there writing down and doing exactly what you say word for word, he's kind of helping you guide through that progress. I guess that's a good trait to look for if you're going to actually go forward with this, to find a good programmer.
It really has been very helpful to me to have somebody be willing to give me those suggestions. And then of course you upload it onto your platform. You know, wait to see how things shake out. You obviously need to upgrade periodically. Every time iOS comes out with a new build, it wreaks havoc.
Does something.
With functioning sometimes, yeah. I mean, 4 years ago or 5 years ago, you needed to write code in Apple and in Android. Oof. Which meant it doubled your price. Now, there are some common languages that both understand. You can circumvent that problem a little bit. It's still a challenge to make sure that both platforms will function well. Apple reviews the apps, not for content. No app out there is reviewed for content, at least not by the platforms.
Okay.
Do you know what I mean? Like you could have somebody review it as a peer reviewer if you wanted to. But in terms of the content, Apple looks for functionality. It looks for privacy of its users. So they don't want you to be able to get data from people that download your stuff. Mm-hmm. You know, so they're trying to protect the user.
Right.
Google, on the other hand, here's something for Google. Throw it out there. Anybody can upload anything to Google. There's no review process at all.
Okay.
You just toss it out there in Google Play and it goes. But Apple takes about 2 weeks for them to review it and then have it go live.
Gotcha.
So you have to kind of factor that time frame in if you're looking to hit targets. Like, I try to hit major conferences with updates and, you know, stuff like that. So you want to factor that in. Other than that, then it's full steam ahead. You just wait and see what the feedback is. And people can rate your apps, as you know.
Right.
Give them 5 stars. And I'll tell you, some people can be brutal.
Yeah.
You know, people are happy with the app. They just go about their life and don't say anything.
Yeah.
When people aren't happy, boy, it crashes. They are angry as a hornet.
Yeah.
And they're quick to put that out there. You know, you've got to have a little thick skin sometimes.
Thick skin, yep. Yeah, I've seen that. I've seen that as well in terms of people writing me emails and saying, "I can't believe you're doing this," or "Why didn't you say that?" or "Why did you say that?" So you take everything like that with a grain of salt. That's some good insight. If someone's got an idea that they say this is my $1 million idea in getting started in terms of getting their app together, you can check out more information about her app and reach out to her at iortho.xyz or on Twitter at iortho mobile app. Dawn Gullick. All right, so the entire episode is a pint, and before we're done with the pint, we take shots. So
whoa. That was not part of the deal.
Hold on. Parting shots. So if you were to give some wisdom on the way out, what would be some parting shots?
Oh, those
of wisdom?
Shots. Yeah, I thought we were shots. Alcohol shots.
Maybe later. But if you had some parting shots of wisdom, you've been a PT professor for more than 20 years. What's some good piece of advice, something small that we can put in our pocket and take with us, just much like an app?
Know your anatomy. That is so critical. You know anatomy, you can build on that, and you've got a great foundation. If that's a weak start for you, you're in trouble down the road. You're just trying to work off sand. That to me is the kind of the be all of our profession. Get those foundation sciences under your belt and really know your stuff. And then, you know, beyond that, do what you've done. Don't be afraid to try something new. Don't be afraid to reach out and take chances. There was some major sports guru that said, you miss 100% of the shots you never take, right?
Right.
You don't take chances. There's nowhere to go with that. So right. That's the thing. I think our profession is an amazing profession. I think it's a lot of fun. Every day is different. You know, I think find that to be incredibly exciting. You know, it's always evolving. We're learning more and more all the time. You never stop learning.
Good. I like that. And I believe that was Wayne Gretzky. So he's got a little bit of credibility behind him saying you miss 100% of the shots you don't take. So that's some good advice coming from a guy whose nickname is The Great One.
There you go.
Perfect. I appreciate you taking the time out and letting us know a little bit about the world of PT and PT apps and how that all works out. Thanks for having a beer with us.
Oh, thanks so much. I appreciate the opportunity.
Cheers. Dawn Gullick, thanks for being on the PT Podcast.
Take care.
Like what you hear? Leave us a review on iTunes. It's not like our moms can keep giving us 5 stars every day. Or can they? The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. Our lawyers made us read that.